Hey there, this is WAER Music Director Eric Cohen welcoming you to my latest Jazz Journeys podcast, heard exclusively on WAER.org. You can also enjoy me weeknights on EC in the evening from 8 to 11, with one exception, that being Thursday when I follow Jazz Night in America at 9. All throughout 2015, I'll be sharing many of my most memorable interviews over the years with some of the biggest names in jazz and maybe a few you're not as familiar with. This time around, legendary jazz guitarist, composer, and educator, the Detroit native Kenny Burrell. There have been many incredible jazz musicians who have come out of the Motor City, including Tommy Flanagan, Elvin Jones, Pepper Adams, and Donald Byrd. However, Kenny is really in a class by himself. Talk about a resume that just speaks for itself. He's played on recordings with everyone from James Brown, Tony Bennett, and Quincy Jones to Stan Getz, Milt Jackson, and Jimmy Smith, just to name a few. One of the first things I asked Kenny was about his recent album, Tenderly, the first time he has ever gone the solo route.
Well, I'm not quite sure, except that I had done solo pieces through the years. In fact, I did one as early as back in 1956. I did one of the first solo guitar things. It was just one piece, though. But I never had the feeling to do a whole solo album because I kind of always liked variety in an album or CD, if you will. And I think probably what has happened is that I felt I could go it alone and still have variety within the CD, even though it's just one guitar player. And I never felt that way before, but I feel that way now, that even though it's just one player, I have enough variety in my taste and enough experience, and I play both acoustic and electric, that I can make it diversified enough to keep it interesting. And I think that's probably the motivation of it.
Just growing up amongst some of these other major names in jazz, just if you can, take us back and can you give us a feel of what the atmosphere was like surrounded by so many other talented people coming out of the Motor City?
Well, I guess the simplest way I can put that, it was almost like being in a university, almost like being in a jazz college or a jazz university with no walls. Because we got together all the time and had rehearsals, and we practiced and we jammed and we exchanged music and we exchanged recordings and had a lot of, you know, different kinds of sessions in terms of talking about music, listening to music, and again practicing music and working jobs, you know, whenever we could get jobs. So it was that kind of atmosphere among the guys that I came up with in Detroit, and I'm sure that's not the only place. I'm sure it happened in Philadelphia and Chicago and Pittsburgh and all that, but I'm just speaking from my point of view. It was like going to school, you know. And then we also had the nice feeling and the luxury of having the older musicians share with us information, and the great guys that would come through town, you know, the well-known musicians that were working with Count Basie and Duke Ellington and others that would come by and listen to us and give us some pointers as youngsters. So it was a really good atmosphere at that time.
I also wanted to ask you about another song on the record that I understand was also inspired by Duke. It also happens to be the title of a recording that you did at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, and that was that's the song Be Yourself. How was that song inspired by Duke?
Well, here's the other thing I didn't mention a minute ago. The other thing about Ellington, besides his music, was his philosophy and his approach to life and music. And one of the lessons he left us, and he left us many lessons, was the fact that, you know, we're all unique. There's no one else like us in the world, and we all have something special to offer if we can get it together and do that. And the idea is to bring out your uniqueness. Don't be a secondhand something else, be a first hand yourself, you know. And that's the lesson that Ellington taught us. And as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, that if they know Ellington, there's only one Ellington, and he's so unique. And you can hear that band play a couple of chords, and you know what band it is. And also his songwriting, etc. And then the things, and I have my students also study the things he wrote, into his words, not just his music. I mean, the things he wrote about music. And he emphasizes many times that be yourself, be the original person that you really are.
Right.
And that's what's going to get you through as long as you're consistent, you know, and the quality level is up there. So that's what inspired that song. Initially, it was the harmony, because it, in the technical terms, in one bar, it goes if the musicians are listening, it goes from a major seventh chord into a dominant seventh chord with a raised ninth, right in the same measure. And that's something that Ellington would do. I mean, I wasn't trying to copy him, but it just came out that way. And I said, this is the kind of different kind of sounds that Ellington would make, because he was also interested in pure sound, not just rules and regulations. If it sounded right to him, he did it, you know?
I know that you obviously value not just being a jazz musician, but clearly having been teaching at UCLA and having done workshops and been around the world, I take it you truly cherish your role as a jazz educator, and I wanted to get your take. I mean, having been in the business for over 50 years and having worked with students and seen how jazz has progressed and evolved and changed over the years, what's your assessment of, well, not just your own students, but the new generation of jazz artists out there? How do you assess the current state of the music, and are you happy with the direction it's going in?
Well, yes, in a general sense, I am very happy with the students, the young musicians, because they're just getting better and better. They really are getting better and better. And my students among them, the students at UCLA, but students all over the country, actually all over the world. Jazz is spread all over the world now. And the young musicians are getting better and better. So I'm pretty happy with with what's going on with the music. I'm, you know, disturbed by the lack of employment and lack of employment opportunities for them. But that's, you know, the nature of the business. And jazz is considered still, by most people, one of the elements in pop music, which it is. But, you know, in the true sense of the word, it's also America's classical music. And so we need to think in those terms. And the people who are involved in the classical world, I think, need to do more to embrace jazz musicians, because that the caliber of the music deserves that kind of credit.
My last question for you, Kenny, is over the course of your illustrious career, can you think of any one individual that you never had the chance to play with and wish that if you could do it over again that somehow you would have been able to share a stage with?
Well, there's a couple of people. That one was Ellington, because he asked me to do something, and I previously booked and I couldn't get out of it, and he asked me to do one of the things that, and I don't know what that could have led to something else, but the record My People, he asked me to do that with him. And also I got a call from Miles Davis when he first started using guitar, and I couldn't do that either for the same reason. I was booked with something else, and I kind of regret that I couldn't do that. But I did play with Miles on some sessions, you know, and some jam sessions and some gigs and concerts. And I did have a chance to play with Ellington on the All-Star tribute that television tribute produced by Bud Yorkin and Quincy Jones, called Love You Madly. But I would love to have spent more time there and recorded with them.
Well, I certainly hope you enjoyed getting some insights from one of the true gentlemen of jazz, Kenny Burrell, This year, he turns 84, and he's showing no signs of slowing down as he remains the director of jazz studies at UCLA's Herb Alpert School of Music. To hear archived editions of Jazz Journeys, please visit waer.org. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Cohen, WAER, as well as the station at WAER883. Be sure to give us a like on Facebook, too. So until next time, remember, jazz. Only four letters, but infinite possibilities. Take care.